We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here, joined by, of course, our guy, Adam Kaplan, who, if you'd missed the press release last week, well, I'll explain to you right now. A new show that ESPN is having, which the name escapes me.
NFL Insider.
NFL Insider, and Adam Kaplan is one of the esteemed staff members, so allow me to congratulate
you. Thank you,
sir. We knew you when. Now he's at ESPN, and just don't forget about us little guys.
I'm a contributing guy. That's it.
Hey, we all play the role.
Yeah.
We all play a little bit of a role. Second day of open practice here for the Eagles, Adam. Let's first talk about the roster move. Miguel Masonette released. Will Shaw, tight end, added. Just too many running backs here with the Eagles after adding Felix Jones. Too many talented running backs.
Yeah, and I think, but the big reason is because I don't think he looked like they thought when they saw him on tape, which is what happens sometimes. You either sign, you draft, you trade for a player, you get him in here, and you see him in practice, you go, whoa, well, who knows? But you're right. This Matthew Tucker kid from TCU.
Saw the burst out there.
Masonette would have had a hard time making it, but I'll tell you, listen, they gave him $10,000 to sign. So they obviously liked him, as you were talking about in the first segment. So,
no biggie.
No, and he'll be waived, and he'll have a chance to get another game.
Your opinion of the Felix Jones edition?
Love it because it was low cost, not a lot of guaranteed money, very little, as a matter of fact, 32.5. Gets another 32.5 as a roster bonus if he makes a team. So, and he dresses week one. So the bottom line is, it's all upside here. He gives them something they don't have. The ability to make a home run play outside the formation. He just has that ability, and they've seen this. He's done this to them, as you know, Dave, in the past.
Yeah.
So now he's here. We'll see.
Adam, how do you view the whole, and this is the daily question that you get, but the whole building of this defense and how it comes along, and it is a work in progress, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of new faces, a scheme that's described as a hybrid. My feeling is I don't think we'll know until September, really, how the defense. I don't think the coaches will know until September.
I think you're right on the hybrid, yeah. For how they're going to perform, you mean?
Yeah, because how could they possibly
know? Oh, it's too early. First of all, they can't hit anyone.
Right.
You don't know. You know, they're formationally, as you said, and you're absolutely right, it's what we thought would be a 34 hybrid. Okay, that's what it's going to be. But we don't know until they get in pads who's going to be physical.
Sure.
Who's going to rush the passer? We don't know that. They're learning. But, you know, they've never played a 3-4 here. These players, for the most part, have never played in a 3-4. So, few of them have, but most have not. And, you know, in the veterans, a lot of them aren't getting a ton of reps now. They're seeing the young kids, which is what you see in OTA. So this is a learning experience for these players.
Who makes the biggest leap, do you think, from the previous scheme, existing player?
Oh, boy.
Is it a Brandon Boykin? Is it a Fletcher Cox? Is it a Nate Allen?
Cox and
D'Amico
Boykin.
Ryans,
Boykin
Trent
especially.
Cole.
Okay, you and I talked about this last Monday, that the cornerback position is one where someone can make a rise here because there's just not a ton of top-end talent. There's going to be an opportunity here. Boykin is the guy who I think could do that. And at Georgia, he played inside and outside. He would probably be the guy, not Curtis Marsh, who's gotten a lot of reps here. I think Boykin would be the guy, Dave. And also, how about finding someone on special teams who can, you know, they're trying a lot of guys back there? That's another position or another role where someone can make a splash who you probably weren't thinking about.
Yeah, I think the key player in this whole equation for me is Trent Cole and how you use him. I'm certainly not ready to say that he has fallen off dramatically in talent, but the numbers were a dramatic fall.
He's been hurt the last 2 years, Dave.
And so how do you use him? How do you unlock that? How do you get Trent Cole free?
It's a good
free?
Question. I think there are two things you can do. First of all, when you play it in nickel, teams go to 43, so he could play with his hand down. That's what he's done his entire career. Now, is he a guy at 30 years old, turning 31? Do you really want him dropping a lot? Well, in a 34 hybrid, you're not going to have a guy dropping a lot, but you've got to find someone who could help him where he doesn't have to play 60 plays a game, where he only has to play 40. But right now, you're trying to find those guys to help him out. But it's up to Billy Davis to figure out a way to maximize his potential in the way that they're going to play this. Barwin's already done it. He's already proven that he can do it. Brandon Graham, we didn't even mention. Can he handle playing in this scheme? Well,
it's a great question.
He did a little bit of it in Michigan. Now he's got to show that he could do it for 20 to 30 plays a game.
How would you characterize what you know of Bill Davis, the scheme, what the approach might be?
His roots are in 34. Going back to the Steelers is where he started, really.
Mm-hmm.
But as he went along here, he took over Clancy Pendergast, who got fired, and he had to overtake that defense. He ran Mike Nolan's scheme, although Nolan called the plays in San Francisco. So this is really the first time in his career that he's going to call the shots. It's going to be what he wants to do with Hallie and Chip helping him with getting players in here. And Tom Gamble, obviously, who knows Billy from his days in San Francisco, and he goes way back with Billy in Philly. So they get him the personnel that he needs to fit what he wants to do, as you said, and I agree, a 34 hybrid. And now that, and then what they'll do is they'll kind of find out these guys. When they watch this practice tape, which is extremely important, they'll start weeding these guys down, starting to see who flashes, who needs to catch up. And by the time they have that mandatory minicamp early next month, that's when they're really going to know where to start making that depth chart.
What did you see at practice today? What caught your eye?
You're going to laugh at this. And in fact,
I don't think I'll laugh at it.
I have to tell you, because we were going, and it's crazy to say this.
Donnie Jones kicking the crap out of the ball. Yeah.
Donnie Jones. Now, maybe
the crap out of the ball.
Now, Wing last week was crushing it. It looked like Ray Guy out there without the ability to put in the coffin corner, so to speak. Jones, and by the way.
Today was crushing it with no wind.
Now, we'll tell you this. The major difference between the two is Donnie Jones' hang time is absolutely terrific. Wing is not that good with it, and you need to have that. And directional punting, Donnie Jones is very, very good. You know, they're both lefties, but Wing needs to get better with that. So we're not handing this thing to Wing. It's going to be a very good competition.
We're just you think it'll be a competition?
I absolutely think so. I think it's going to be excellent.
We'll look at. Do you anticipate an improvement over Matt McBryer last year?
Matt McBryer.
Are we really talking about the punting situation?
We are. Hey, listen, you asked me. Okay, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I mean, quarterbacks. I thought Foles stepped it up a little bit in this practice. All right, I'm going to give you a little tidbit.
Please do.
And it's a guy that no one's watching except me, probably. Derek Carrier is extremely...
Great athlete. Tight end.
He is so fluid. So fluid at practice. And again, they're running against air, but, you know, he can run. He's fluid athlete.
Tell me about the quarterbacks.
I thought Nick Foles stepped it up a little bit today.
I thought he
practiced very well. And Matt Barkley, I have to tell you, he made a throw that I didn't think he was even capable of even attempting.
The deep out.
No, his touch is good downfield. Okay. But he made a 20-yard... sideline throw through two defenders. Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Daily News was sitting next to me, and he and I kind of looked at each other like, was that Matt Barkley?
Yeah.
Made a real nice throw. So
the whole rap on him is the arm strength. Yeah. I mean, he's certainly worked on his mechanics. He's worked on his game.
Well, they're working on it. You could clearly see that.
Yeah. I think he's got a fluid motion. I think he gets rid of the football in a timely fashion.
But you see, Vic, there, very no accurate. One has that. I mean, no one can make that
there's
throw.
There's nobody who throws a nicer ball than Michael Vick.
Of course.
But let's do it in games. Let's do it accurately. Let's do it timely. All that.
The timing anticipation part, Dave, is you just mentioned in passing. That is going to be key for Vick to win this job. What we saw from him in the past is unacceptable. He can't stare down receivers. Now, he refutes all this, by the way. I mean, you saw every interview. He said, that's not true. Well, you know what? There's a reason why he has not separated himself here. Because with his elite talent, when you talk about the arm strength and the mobility, he should win this job easily, but he's not winning it easily.
Wide receiver Ifeanyi Moma, first time he practiced in front of the media. Long, caught the ball very well. Going to have to show me that he's quick enough to come in and out of his breaks in tight space, in tight situations.
It's funny you mentioned it, because that was the one thing I noticed. He's not fluid enough getting out. He stops and starts. He needs to. It's one turn and go.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that yet. What you love, though, once he gets going downfield, he's a 6'7 kid who could run. You don't see guys like that run that well downfield. So we'll see. I want to see more of Aurelius Ben as well.
Yeah, Aurelius Ben took a lot of – didn't see as many reps as I saw last week from him.
Yeah, and B.J. Cunningham's a kid that they kept on the practice squad last year. I'd like to see.
I like this group of wide receivers a lot. I really think the offense can score some points.
They're going to have to. I think they might have to score 27 or 30 a game to win consistently.
You think the defense is still in that building mode?
I think that you're turning over the roster a little bit on defense, and you have a new outlook. It's going to take some time, but there's a ton of talent on offense. Wow, you see, and you mentioned Felix Jones. You just add that to this. I'd have to say if Felix Jones is healthy, this is the best group of running backs in the league.
Yeah, really?
One to three.
Okay.
You know, Adrian Peterson's the best back in the league, but 1-3, tell me a team that's deeper than that.
Yeah, and you just say, listen, if the offensive line comes together, your bread and butter of this offense, ladies and gentlemen, is the running game. You've been asking for it for many, many, many years. You got it now. Eagles should be able to run the football when they want to. Adam Kaplan, we thank you for joining us in studio here once again on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.